Now, due to the increasing prevalence of antibiotic resistance and the spiralling cost of wound care to the health service, one of the problematic issues that arises is that 25 to 50% of Irish hospital beds are in fact occupied by wound patients, with the cost of one problematic or troublesome wound being between 6,500 and 10,000 euro per patient. Medics, not surprisingly, are looking at alternative ways of treating wounds. Well, tomorrow night at the Royal College of Surgeons, the head of School of Nursing and Midwifery at the RCSI, Zina Moore, will present a lecture entitled, wait for it, Wound Management, Honey, Maggots and Other Medical Marvels. Zina Moore joins me in studio. Thank you very much. That's some title to put on a lecture. First of all, before we get into the pleasant and maybe unpleasant ways of looking at things, just define, if you would, a wound first and foremost.
Well, a wound is a break in the continuity of the skin. It can arise for a variety of different things. It could be an accident like trauma, could be surgery, or it could arise due to underlying diseases like diabetes, you know, or for example, when somebody is laying in bed too long and they're not positioning themselves, then you could get an ulcer that we call like a bed sore.
But one would have thought that with modern medicine, a wound should not be a problem.
Well, I suppose those of us who've been working in wound care for quite a long time would strive to achieve that goal indeed. And I guess what the problem is that there is a rising prevalence of, as you know, changing demographics. So that means that we are going to see a lot of different problems in terms of diabetes, problems with circulation in the limbs that do increase the likelihood of developing problems. And one of the issues is around ensuring that there's good assessment and diagnosis so that we know exactly what we're dealing with and that people don't leave problems thinking, well, that's part of old age or whatever, because of course it's not. There are lots of ways in which we can manage these very effectively.
And what about the percentage of cases that would come in maybe for elective surgery or whatever, where there would be a troublesome wound in the aftermath?
Well, one of the most common complications, for example, of when somebody falls and breaks their hip is a wound on the heel that arises from, you know, unrelieved pressure. So like a bed sore is a very common complication and probably underestimated because the concentration is in other areas of practice. So we've been striving really, really hard over the last number of years to really bring forward the agenda of change in that regard. And for example, the Health Service Executive has launched key performance indicators. One of them is around measuring pressure ulcers and reducing the incidence of them, and there's a collaborative starting this year in terms of work with the Royal College of Physicians, the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland and the Health Service to try to reduce this.
Can those kind of situations, bed sores particularly, can they be prevented, or is it just inevitable that they will arise?
No, they can be prevented. Most of them can be prevented by good care, by assessing the patient, identifying their risk factors and putting in good practices. And there's been really good success across the UK in terms of implementing a very simple issue called a skin bundle, which just looks at the key issues around taking care of the skin, making sure the person is moving, or if they can't move, that you move them, and using the right equipment for the person to lie and sit on.
Nonetheless, there will be wounds to be dealt with in whatever shape or guise. Now, your lecture title is called Wound Management, Honey, Maggots and Other Medical Marvels. That suggests that you're going back in time to look at ways of dealing with
exactly,
wounds.
Exactly, yeah. So for the RCSI Mini Med lecture, the idea behind it was inspired by a book by Ruth Bernstein, the book is called Honey, Mud and Maggots and Other Medical Marvels. Well, we left out the mud because we don't use mud these days. So for the Mini Med lecture then, the idea really is to explore the problem of wounds and to look at why we should look back, as you say, in order to move forward, because some of the remedies that we use in the past, like honey and maggots and silver, are widely used today and they are very effective. And as you said in the beginning, in terms of looking at the problem of antibiotic resistance, we need to focus on therapies that can actually help to enhance wound healing without increasing the risk of further resistance into the future.
Well let's start with the pleasant one, honey.
Yeah.
The role of honey in dealing with wounds.
Yeah. So, I mean, the honey we get is... We use Manuka honey it comes from New Zealand and from Australia. And the idea behind it is that it has a good osmotic pressure, so it can draw things out of the wound. It alters the pH, which inhibits bacterial proliferation. So it has a role to play. It's not as popular as you might imagine.
And how is it applied? Is it applied in hospitals?
It's applied in an ointment. It's specially designed for use in wounds, so it would have to be approved by the pharmacies and that. But the idea is that it is applied in an ointment, or it can come in a dressing. It's not as widely used, as I said, as you would imagine, considering it's so freely available. There can be some stinging when you use it, and that can be a problem for patients, of course. But it is a product that has an antibacterial function and that we really need to consider.
And is it used as an alternative then to antibiotic treatment?
It'll depend. So if we have, we always work as a team, so it's really important to say that we're all working as a team, medics, nurses, pharmacists, physios, etc. together. And the idea is that when we have a wound that's problematic locally, but the patient hasn't got any systematic or systemic signs of problems, then we can use these therapies very effectively.
Mud?
We don't use mud. No, I avoided
okay,
that one.
Fine. But I mean, but is that for reasons of health and safety, or what's the story?
It's just because nobody has ever produced it. I guess if I was in the Dead Sea, then I could use it.
I hesitate to use the other word that we used earlier, beginning with them. So let's just refer to it as little creatures.
Yeah. Now, larvae, we could call them.
Okay,
maybe.
Fine. That's grand. We'll take that. Well, again, what's the role there?
Well, I mean, the larvae, as you know, have been used historically, but they. They were used, I mean, they were acquired accidentally during the wars. And there was one surgeon who found that patients that he had treated with larvae who had infected osteomyelitis, they did really, really well with treatment for larvae. But it came out of vogue then because of the use of antibiotics. But we use larvae very, very effectively for wounds that are covered in dead tissue and required to be cleaned. Because if you could imagine from a human perspective, if you have a wound that has a lot of dead tissue in it, there's always going to be a smell associated with that. From a quality of life perspective, that's horrendous for somebody. And what the larvae do is that they secrete enzymes from their gut, and the enzymes then dissolve the dead tissue, and then they use that dead tissue as a source of nutrients. And they also contain within their gut, they're able to get rid of bacteria as well. So it works really, really effectively for cleaning and also for getting rid of bacteria.
And how widely applied is that?
It is used not as widely in Ireland as in the UK, but my colleague Julie, who's presenting with me tomorrow night at the Mini-Med lecture, she is using them in the hospital. And they come now in a really neat way. They're not free larvae. They come in like in a little bag, so they're very aesthetic, and so from a human perspective, that you don't have this feeling like as if there's something terrible going on. And I suppose if you were somebody who was exposed to a really nasty wound, and something could help to increase, you know, to increase the quality of the actual wound itself, get rid of the malodor, you would be a happy person,
irrespective of how it was achieved.
Yes.
If the success, or if the outcome was successful, again, something that's not on your agenda, I suppose. But again, maybe it's in the nature of an old wives' tale. It's certainly there, I think, by way of an old remedy for sort of for dealing with cuts. I mean. Cobwebs, spider's webs.
Yeah. No, I
don't know if there's any medical validity to that, but I've seen it and heard of it actually working, but again, in minor situations.
Yeah. I have personally never used them, so I don't have any experience of it. But there were certainly a lot of remedies that have been used in the past when people didn't have access to other therapies. But in terms of these modern, the idea of looking back is to make sure that we are bringing forward treatments that are still relevant today and can enhance quality.
And indeed, to use the polite word larvae, I mean, there's a lot of tradition of using that. Indeed, was it not the case that in World War One it was a method that was used in dealing with wounds quite extensively?
Perhaps in World War One, what was happening was that the soldiers were acquiring maggots. They weren't necessarily applied in the aesthetic way in which we're applying them today.
Indeed.
But the thing is that the evidence then arose was that they could see that these wounds were doing very, very well and doing much better than other soldiers who didn't have such therapy.
What are the do's and don'ts of wound management?
At the outset, it's really important to ensure that if you have any underlying medical diseases or disorders, for example, like diabetes, that you're ensuring that you're attending your GP, you're attending the diabetic daycare centre to ensure that you're getting a good diagnosis. The other thing to remember is the importance of nutrition in terms of wound healing. We cannot get away from that the body requires proteins to be able to replace the tissue that's lost. So if there's any problems with nutrition, then that needs to be addressed. The other thing that's really important is about knowing what the actual cause of the wound is. Once we diagnose the cause, we can determine whether there's a good enough blood supply to the wound. Then the topical treatments that we have available, there are lots of those, and therefore you would need to seek advice to be able to make sure that you're using the right ones. But there are lots of available resources in terms of within the clinical practice arena, within my tissue viability colleagues, and my friend Julie will be presenting tomorrow, and she'll be presenting some cases around that. So the idea really is about knowing why you have the wound, making sure that you don't have any underlying disorders that will impede wound healing, and making sure that you're choosing the right treatment for the type of wound that you have.
A question from one of our listeners. Can you ask your guest what I can do about my dad's pressure sores?
Well, the idea, really what she should do is to contact the public health nurse and the GP and make sure that she's having a proper assessment from the public health nurse and the GP, and to remember the importance of positioning, making sure that there's the person is not lying in the one position all the time. But I would say to seek advice from the public health nurse and the GP at the outset.
Now, this lecture tomorrow night, is it for specialists, or could somebody with a serious interest in this topic go along?
It's for everybody. So it's an open lecture. So it's the RCSI MiniMed.
Is it online as a matter of interest?
It will be available on Twitter. They also do it on YouTube. And if you want to register, you can rcsi.ie/MiniMed. And also to make sure that you can catch it on Twitter as well and also on YouTube.
So, again, an open invitation
and
people can follow it from the comfort
Absolutely.
Of their own home or their laptop or their tablet. Professor Zina Moore, Head of Nursing and Midwifery at the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. Thank you very much indeed for coming to the studio.
Indeed.